thank you, and thank you for joining us on what is a very special Two Tones edition. This is not episode number 12, Tony DeBolfo, but the Hall of Fame edition.
Football's Night of Nights here at Carlton, Tony, and isn't it delightful to be, you know, amongst the ghosts of the theatrical world here at the Athenaeum Theatre on Collins Street?
I tell you, there is more than enough legends tonight to go around. It is the induction, as we said on last week's show, the induction of four great Carlton players into the Hall of Fame and the elevation of a legend. Now, Tone, we have teased everyone who listens to the Two Tones. Can we tonight or now announce, I think we can, who it is who is going through to legend status?
Well, we can reveal exclusively here, Tony, for all our loyal listeners, that the great Sergio Silvagni,
awesome,
is now a legend.
What's he ever done for the Carlton Football Club, Tone?
What an icon of the game he was. The man that probably resulted in half of Italy getting behind the mighty Blues from that period of time in the immediate post-war years, when he has told me himself, to be Italian in Melbourne after the war, you kept your head down.
Yeah, I can imagine you did.
But what a great honour for a great player, great servant of the Carlton Football Club, dual best and fairest player, captain of the Carlton Football Club, two-time premiership player, basically did it all. And, the old man's concreting business didn't do him any harm. He was as strong as a Mallee Bull, and they used to bounce off him. And, of course, part of that famed following division, Nichols, Silvagni, Gallagher. None better, Tony.
That's without mentioning the three generations of the club the three generations of the family that have pulled on the dark navy blue.
Oh, it's an incredible story, and the clan is out in full force tonight. I've seen Rita in the foyer. Awesome. I've seen Stephen and Joe here, and, of course, the boys, Jack, Ben, Tom, are all here as well, and Stephen's sisters. I bumped into Lisa Silvagni earlier, and it's lovely to see them all.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, speaking of the great multicultural contribution to AFL-VFL, tonight we honour a couple of other great servants of the Carlton Football Club. And I, for one, I mean, I'm 46. So I'm absolutely thrilled by two of the names because I got to see them play repeatedly. They got the benefit of my wisdom from the outer many times. And don't I like to think it helped them on more than one occasion. We're talking, of course, I'm just going to mention these two names and then you bring home the other two. Milhanna and Scott Camporeale, or Camporeale. Let's get it right.
Camporeale, two Italians getting honoured tonight, Tony, which is lovely to see. And, and the other two, of course, we have Ian Robertson, three-time premiership player of the Carlton Football Club.
68, 70 and 72.
They were three good ones, Tony. And, of course, Jack Rout, who perhaps you and I didn't even get to see. A long time ago, Jack Rout ran around for Carlton, member of the 38 premiership team, but the pacifist to the bull in the china shop, who was Ronald Albarassi. As chairman of selectors, Rout was a magnificent tempering influence to the fire and brimstone servant who was Ronald Dale.
No easy task, I would have thought.
No easy task. An interesting story about Jack Rout is that he kept that position as chairman, at least in name, until he died. And he was on his deathbed and still the Carlton chairman of selectors. That's loyalty for you.
Oh, I tell you. It's like the old Woody Allen joke. He said
we've just bumped into Mark Murphy. He's put me off my game here.
Showing us his hand there.
And no helmet.
No, shaking with excitement, I think, the news that Rebecca Judd is carrying twins.
Well, what about that? And, of course, we've just bumped into Scott Camporeale tonight with the twin boys over from Adelaide.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
It's an embarrassment of riches. We've got a goal line there, Tony. I've already penciled in round one, 2038. I'm going to be there to see them all.
We will be there. Don't worry about that.
And, Tony, might I just say that there are 73 current inductees to the Carlton Hall of Fame, 77 with the four new inductees this evening, and Sergio Silvagni makes 13 legends of the Hall. So 13 men who were in the Hall of Fame that have been elevated to legend status, and most of them are here.
Okay, and we're also inducting Rebecca Judd at this rate too, legend status. I will insist upon it. Yeah.
And don't forget Campo's missus either.
No, she did great work from her too. Milhanna, can we just talk about him? The number 13, just a looming, menacing presence on the wing. He was a 95 premiership player, and born in Lebanon. How's that for a story?
Amazing story. I can remember talking to Mil about this, Tony, not so long ago, and he, telling me that all he remembered of the old home were the smells of Lebanon, you know, of the teas and the, and, you know, and the aromatic herbs, and that was a prevailing memory for him. And I think he still benefited from that years later in Princess Hill, where he lived, because Mrs. Hannah was a renowned cook, and half of Carlton used to go around there after training to sample her tasty morsels, Tony.
I can imagine.
So that was a great, that's a great story, Mill Hannah's story. You know, settled in the Carlton area, was born in Lebanon, but a local boy in many respects. You know, he effectively walked in off the streets, but Mill was a great junior player. So his connection with Carlton has transcended the 200 plus games that he represented the club in. It goes back to the thirds, you know, those early days. It may even go back as far as the Bert Deakin scholarship squad.
But didn't he have a crippling injury in his first game?
It was at VFL Park against Hawthorn, if memory serves, Tony, and he did the knee in the first quarter.
Same clump of dirt that got Luke O'Sullivan, I bet.
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
And I just remember him leading out, and just the knee gave way, and it effectively put pay to his year. So that would have been, I'd say, 86 for memory.
Yeah.
And a hell of a baptism of fire for him. You know, round one, first quarter. It just goes to show how fickle a game of the game of football can actually be. You know, it's an uncompromising game, Tony.
Yeah.
And Mill had to come back from a long way early into his career. In fact, at the very start of his career. So, you know, there were no. Here he is now. We're just talking about the great man.
All right.
And he's moving beautifully after doing that knee in round one, 1986, Mill, wasn't it, at VFL Park?
Oh, yes.
Tony just asked whether, in fact, you went over on the same patch of turf that claim Rhino, Luke O'Sullivan, in that game out there, what, a year or two later.
Wow, Tony, that's unbelievable. No one's ever actually brought that up. You know what? Have I gone past this statutory period there where I can actually sue the AFL?
You can still do it.
You may have.
Now, being elevated tonight restores any legal right you have to sue. It's true.
I'd never thought of that.
I'm a jailhouse lawyer, Mill.
Okay.
Can I pay you a compliment of sorts? My mum is a mad Hawthorn supporter, and one player that made her blood boil more than any, and this is the year that we won 20 out of 22. This is when Carlton were unstoppable. We were like the Ebola virus. One player that she hated most out of that premiership team, hated / loved / respected, was you.
Wow. Well, I don't know how to respond to that, right? I'm just going to respond saying I really appreciate the love bit of that combination.
Yeah. Mill, first of all, congratulations on being inducted into the Hall of Fame. You may be aware that only 73 players in the history of the Carlton Football Club have been so honoured. You're going in tonight. What does it actually mean to you to be honoured in this respect?
Tone, it's... You know, being, as I said, a little kid from Brunswick and, you know, being born overseas, barracking for Carlton and then playing all those years and then bringing up those statistics and look at some of the guys in that group. And these guys I absolutely idolised as a kid, absolutely idolised. So it's hard really to describe, put in words, I'm in that company now, so it's unbelievable.
All power to you.
He's so emotional that... He said to me before he joined the podcast, Tone, that anybody who listens to the Two Tones podcast just has to come into the Fitz on Brunswick Street and it's a free meal if they mention the Two Tones.
Look,
can you believe Mill Hannah? He's still giving to the club.
always, mate.
Your greatest memory at the club, Mill? I mean, that's probably an obvious question, but it was such a storied career. It was an amazing career. Mm. What stands out?
The obvious one obviously is the 95 premiership, and that stands alone. But, you know, I do cherish the times with the boys. You know, that time you just can't replicate it in this now. You know, you'd never get a situation where you're with your best mates 3-4 times a week and mucking around, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that kind of stuff is just priceless.
Did you get a lick in at the brawl, the 95 brawl? I think somebody went near Ange and
right
Cooter
at half time, was it?
Cooter materialised out of nowhere and it was a melee.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
It's disappointing.
No, Mill was heading up the races for replenishment. He was thinking about the third quarter. Exactly. He wasn't worried about that nonsense.
Wouldn't have mattered. It would have been a bomb that went off. I wouldn't have noticed, I don't think.
You were focused, Mill. That was
exactly,
the main, that was the main thing.
Yeah.
And when you reflect on your time, timing is everything, isn't it? You know, you talk about, I mean, happening to leave your country to start again, fresh in a new world, you know, the great Southland. Not only that, but then to be at the Carlton Football Club at a time when the planets aligned. And I know, you know, we talked about that setback with your knee, but it worked out. It worked out for you and it worked out for the team.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you sort of played, I played in a golden era of success at Carlton, and even years where we didn't win premierships, we were successful. We made finals, and there have been some great players who've played in the last sort of 15 years at Carlton and unfortunately just didn't enjoy that success, and take nothing away from those players. You know, they played their hearts out. But, you know, in a different area, they could have been multiple premiership players.
And Mill, you're loyal to a fault. We still see you in the rooms post-match doing interviews, mm-hmm. you know, and you're always there. You've had an opportunity now to see the Carlton model of 2016 under Brendan Bolton. What are your observations of where the team is heading, where it's at right now?
It's probably the first time in about, I'd say, 6-7 years that I feel really confident about the direction they're heading. And I mentioned the other day to someone that I think their form has been better than the scoreline suggests, and particularly in some of those games. So, you know, it'll take time, but I think they may do what the Bulldogs did, say, 3 years ago, where the Bulldogs finished very low and then had an incredible improvement the following year. I'm hoping that that's what will happen next year. So really excited about, obviously, this year, but particularly next year.
And of course, the other aspect of this is that it seems that the people that are making the decision on Carlton's list are under no illusion where the team is at, and they know what it will take in terms of the influx of new players, playing personnel, the pieces of the jigsaw to get the puzzle right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you spoke of it before about the timing, and I think on the other end of the timing is the actual correct selection of players. And I certainly think, by the looks of those players that have come through now, compared to, you know, some of the players, I suppose, over the last 15 years, probably didn't really quite fit in Carlton's future in their mould, you can see these guys are going to have a serious impact at the club.
Mm. I know you love Wettering. You were talking about him in the Errol Sun interview. What excites you about him, apart from the obvious?
Look, I coach my son's under 15 team, and I see boys, and the one thing that stands out between the really elite boys and the other boys is composure. Composure. That guy's just got composure. And he just knows what's going on around him. Doesn't rush it. He reads it. You just can't teach that. I don't think you can teach that, right? Mm. So when you've got that, that is just, you know, makes the difference.
Mm. I'm going to ask you two short questions here because we have to wind it up, Milam Hanna. Your premiership medal and your number 13 jumper, where are they? Where do you store them?
Premiership medal is in my walk-in robe in the miniature premiership cup.
Ah, okay. There we go. Nice. And the jumper, where do you keep that?
The jumper is under my bed, and I use that if I've had a big night out and my wife wants me to put it on with just the jumper, with just the jumper on.
Just the jumper. Thank you for that image, Bill. Okay, if there was a ball team of the century, we know Barry Hall would be in it. You'd be in it. Maybe Nathan Jones, Mick Martin, Juddy, Gary Ablett Jr., Andrew Jarman, Paul Chapman, Peter Matera, Nigel Smart. Would Kevin Bartlett qualify?
I don't think he would.
Okay.
I don't think he would. I think
the comb over's not.
Yeah, I think
doesn't work.
If he'd actually cut the comb over, and then he had just the bits on the side, he may have qualified.
All right.
Sorry, KB.
Right.
You're not there.
Got in.
But he certainly would have got in.
All right.
You know.
Well, congratulations, Mill. Thank you for joining us on the Two Tones.
Thanks, boys.
See you later on, Mill.
Tone, this is just, I'm like a pig in mud here. This is awesome. Scott Camporelli being elevated tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, a real honour.
Now you've come over from Adelaide and you brought the wife and the kids. You're committed to this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a huge honour and it's a big moment for me, I guess. And I guess what we do forget in footy sometimes is the people behind the scenes. So it's obviously a great opportunity to share this moment with them. My boys don't remember me playing as such, so it's a great opportunity for them to sort of engage in the footy club again, which we love.
I guess a question that Tony DeBolfo is probably not going to ask you. You played for Carlton, obviously, Essendon, you've coached at the Crows. Who do the kids barrack for?
They're definitely, they've got a soft spot, obviously, for Adelaide, because being around the players all the time. But we actually came back about 18 months ago. The kids, the boys especially, wanted to go through the Carlton rooms, and
awesome.
We got it organised, and they got presented with a couple of 16 Guernseys. So they love Carlton. I've obviously got some memorabilia around the place, and I'll always be a Carlton player, and so will they.
That's what we want to hear.
It probably leads nicely into the next question, Scotty. The premiership medallion and the number 16 Guernsey, where have you got a sword?
Well, it's in bubble wrap at the moment because we're building a house at the moment, so it's in bubble wrap, but we've got a bit of a man cave going on, so right. I'd like to dust it off and put it on show. Absolutely.
I reckon it's still fit, so you're in pretty good shape.
I just can't run anymore, mate, so I've got to watch the intake rather than the output. Yeah. Yeah.
And Scotty, you were here last year, if memory serves, for the 20th anniversary reunion of the Grand Final. Ken Judge was there that night?
Yeah, he was, yeah. No, that was a fantastic night. Like, to, time goes quickly and everyone goes off, and once you leave the footy club and everyone's got different interests and family and business. But what the club did, particularly Parko and Sharon McCall, got the club down there with just the support staff that were during that year and all the players. It was an outstanding night. And it was literally like being back in 95 again.
And you look at 95, I mean, you couldn't have scripted better personally or collectively. Mm. I mean, it was an unbelievable year, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I think life's timing, you know, in a lot of things in life. And, my timing was impeccable, I guess, in terms of being able to get drafted to this club and then break my way into the team. And obviously to play in a premiership team was unbelievable.
For all the success of that year, is there a moment or a memory that stands out for you more than any?
Personally or as a team?
Either.
Well, personally, it was obviously the first game against Collingwood, 88,000 I think it was at the MCG. So you sort of dream about those things as a kid and then moving across and making the sacrifice. So that was a big day. But look, I can't pinpoint one thing, but, you know, just to be involved with the guys that played in that year, I mean, I was a small percentage, but to play, you know, with Kernahan, Bradley, Williams, Hannah, Silvani, I mean... Mm. You know, that's an unbelievable era to play in, and I was lucky enough to be a part of it. So, yeah, I used to sit in the change rooms and look across before the game and think, geez, I'm actually playing with these guys. Wow. So every week was a buzz.
Tone, taking off your Adelaide hat for one moment, you've probably had a chance to look at Carlton and, don't need to tell you how tough it's been these past 20 years or so. It's unbelievable.
Chatham House rules here, Campo.
Yeah. Are we on the right track, Scott? How are you assessing it?
No, I think so. I think, at the end of the day, you've got to get talent in. And obviously, one of the things of the draft and teams, I guess, bottoming them out, you get opportunities to get great talent in. So, and it's great to see what Soss is doing, bringing in, young talent. Which a lot of those guys will go through together and hopefully play 10 years and 200 games together. So really like the look of the team and the balance. They'll keep adding year after year, and all those younger guys that are getting drafted, they'll get experience, which is important.
A lot of people might not know this about Scott Camporeale, but he's a member. Camporeale. Is that one of the most frustrating things in the world to go through life with two pronunciations of your surname?
There's the Aussie version and there's the Italian version.
Oh, good. Well, speaking of Italian, you're in the Italian VFL AFL Team of the Century.
Yeah.
Now, you don't actually get selected for this, Tone. They just make you an offer you can't refuse.
I had a bit to do with that selection of that team, too. So I've been very, very careful.
Really?
And we've got a couple in there, too. I think Fev made it, and I think the Silvani's made it also, so it was very, very well represented, and I would set that team against any team, the Indigenous, the Greeks included. Forget the rest.
Oh my God, it was what a lineup! But how did Kennedy make it in there? There was
grandmother. His mother's father. His mother's father was Italian born.
Okay, would you accept that as a proud Italian, Scott Camporeale?
Well, I have to accept it, but it sounds like you only got to drive past Logos to get an opportunity to get in.
Now, we have often mentioned on the Two Tones podcast, We love to dwell, maybe it's me, but we love to dwell on a grave injustice, and that is, of course, the Rising Star Award that you didn't get.
Criminal.
You lost it to Nick Holland of Hawthorn, and as compensation, Hawthorn got a free.
don't talk about that.
I would imagine you don't dwell on it the way we do.
Nah, well, I mean, at the time when everyone's talking about it, you think about it, but at the end of the day, I won a premiership. I couldn't care less about, you know, an individual on a... we play this game for those team accolades and the premiership. And, yeah, like people still talk about it now. It's amazing. They're like, geez,
we don't forget. We don't forget, Scott.
Which is nice. It's nice to hear.
We haven't had much joy with it because Mark Murphy missed out. He had the collarbone break in his first year. Yeah. And then Cripps missed out to Melbourne Blake last year.
Hogan, wasn't it?
Hogan, you know, 24 games out of 25 in a premiership might have got you there.
Might have got you there. It is unbelievable. Anyway. We might have Wiedering this year. Wiedering might be the one that finally breaks the duck for us. But,
You would hope.
But as you say, Scotty, who cares? You've got the premiership medal. Right. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you just, I mean, my memories of that year and that day are so clear. What, I mean, I would imagine maybe even after the final siren, you might not even recall that. Was it just like a two-month blur? What's you're a young man, you've virtually got the keys to the city, you've won a premiership.
Well, I just turned 20, and it was, I mean, I wasn't a huge drinker at the best of times, but to go on a two-week bender with the likes of Styx, it wasn't ideal for me.
Yeah.
So by the end of it, I had a shaved head. I had two coleslaws. I was run down. I actually had to go back to Adelaide just to get out of the place, just to calm down. So, but yeah, unbelievable experience. Yeah, but awesome.
We can relate to the shaved head, of course, Scotty. It was the best haircut ever. Got in the middle of the bar at Norton's, but good fun. Yeah. I think we've been wound up.
Lined up.
Scotty, see you in there. No fantastic worries. To see you here in Melbourne tonight.
Thanks,
well done, mate, on being elevated to the hall. And we'll see you later on.
Thanks for
here.
Thank you.
How thrilling is that? You turn up, you speak to just great footballers of the Calm Football Club, and you just have a yarn.
It's magnificent to see football royalty in the house tonight, Tony, and they're all here.
They
Let's
really
make
are.
No mistake. You know, it's great to see them all flooding into the joint, and I think it's a positive sign that not only this team, but this club and its people are on the up.
Oh, you can feel it.
You can feel it.
It's in the air, Tony.
Yeah, I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah, and we love that. And what better reason to keep listening to the Two Tones, because we will chronicle the amazing journey that will be 2016 at the Carlton Football Club. Thank you for joining us on this very special edition from the Hall of Fame. The inductees, we of course congratulate them again. Mil Henner, Scott Chiaparelli, Ian Robertson, Jack Rout, and elevated to legend status, the great
Sergio Silvani.
We love his work. Catch you next week on the Two Tones.